Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. In this episode, Dennis talks about getting an RTX 5080 off the back of a truck and then benchmarks it against the current 40 Series champions. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McKee. Spring is just around the corner.
It is.
And while I don't normally suffer from allergies, I was traveling a couple weeks ago, attending a trade show. Yeah, we can just call it a trade show.
Right.
And I came back with a bit of a cold that has affected my voice. So if I sound a little different, that's why. So, but it kind of gives me that deep movie guy voice, which is kind of cool.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah, it is. But what's kind of neat is that I came back with a gift.
Oh.
And it's a gift for the Hardware Asylum Lab. It's a gift for, I don't know, just the fact that I brought it back. And I wanted to share it with everybody on the podcast in the traditional radio use your imagination balls.
I see this, and if you're just listening, you wouldn't be able to tell. This is like the most sexy brown box opening that I've seen in a while, because there's no shiny marketing. There's just a kind of a recycled, brown box here.
Well, yeah, it's corrugated cardboard, and it's been stacked, which is pretty cool. And truth be told, this was actually in a much larger container, but that container wouldn't fit in my my luggage. So I had to take it out and then basically bring back the cool box, which is really just, it looks like recycled cardboard.
So I can't even tell what this is, but I'm going to try to, oh my gosh, it's a challenge to open this.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's heavy, so bring it over. Oh, and it's a challenge to open, but it looks like you have it already.
So it's like a puzzle box. Okay, I see. The outside's come out.
Yeah, there's these little cardboard tabs that kind of hold the two halves together.
What is it? Okay, I'm going in.
If you flip it over, it probably says what it is.
I know, that's not good for radio, though. I'm not even going to look. Okay. Oh, we have video card.
It's a really thick cardboard thing.
Heavens, maybe you need to post a picture of that, because that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's not the first time that NVIDIA, has done a container like this for a reference card, which is, I don't know, it's pretty awesome, and it's 100% recyclable, so when you're done, you just chuck it in the bin.
Yeah, but who would want to do that? Because that's a cool box. All right, so I'm looking at a video card, which gets me already super excited. And if I'm not mistaken, this heavy brick, oh, there it is an RTX 5080. Excellent.
5080. This is a reference design card. Two fans.
Yeah.
And if you look through the fans, look through both of the fans, the vents on the back.
Oh, yeah.
You can see through both of them.
Wow. So really the core is inches maybe in the middle?
Yeah, it's in the middle. It's under the X, and that X actually lights up, which is
kind of
cool.
So it's kind of almost a figure eight around the fans, which is kind of neat. Infinity, RTX Infinity and beyond.
Oh, yeah, 50 Series Infinity. The other cool thing about it is that it's much taller than other reference designs. The fans are something like 120 millimeter or something like that. They're huge.
So we are looking at a two-slot design, which is kind of a surprise also.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit taller. It reminds me a lot of the 4090 aftermarket cars, how tall they were.
Yeah.
So it's a much larger card, mostly to accommodate the big-ass fans.
So just at a glance, what am I seeing here is not a whole lot. We got just one plug. This is the new style plug, right? Does it have a name? A new style plug.
The new style plug. It's the 12-volt high power. And this is the full realization of it. So if you look, there are,
12 pins.
12 pins.
No.
And then there's four or six smaller pins at the top or at the bottom. And those the voltage sense pins to track how much current's going through the system.
So this is not going to like light on fire like the last generation. Is that what you're saying?
Well, if you want to believe the YouTube sensationalists, yes, it will catch on fire.
Totally.
Always. Every single time you plug it in, it's just going to catch on fire.
Every video card.
But I've used this one four times now, plugging it in and out of a system, and it has yet to burn up, so I'm pretty sure we're safe.
I am honestly pretty amazed that they have found a way to make the core so small that you can put pass through fans and heat sinks on either end of these things.
If you look at the board itself, it's really super small, and it really mimics the way that the GPUs are designed for the data center.
Right.
So like the H100s, you know, the ones that are, you know, have been outlawed in China and everything, those are just these small squares. And then there's a big old heatsink that sits on top of it. And then they put eight of them into a 4U server. And then that's basically their AI node that gets installed in the data center. Well, these cards, the size of it really mimics that form factor. And it kind of makes a lot of sense. That way you have everything in the same package, and they have already optimized it for speed and performance and blah, blah, blah.
So a couple other things I notice. It's all aluminum, so it's totally enclosed, so you don't really see any card at all.
And rounded corners.
Rounded corners is nice. Mm-hmm. But even the plate on the back is metallic, which is kind of entertaining. So,
oh, and it's not vented. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah. Not at all on the back. Interesting. So yeah,
it's basically...
I got a little bit of central venting on the top and bottom, but even that's pretty marginal.
Well, yeah. It's basically just air from the one side of the card to the other side. And when you have it installed, it's basically bottom up.
So for those of you that haven't taken a close look, we got three display ports and one HDMI is your total plug out on this.
And one thing... Oh, my God. This is the one thing that annoyed me with this particular card.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, as you know, I test a lot of video cards.
Yes, you do.
On the test bench. And my DisplayPort cable always has a certain orientation. So I can basically plug in a card, plug in the power, plug in the DisplayPort, and I'm done.
Sight unseen.
Sight unseen. I could basically just click, 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 and I'm done. I put this card in, and the DisplayPort cable would not fit.
What? Now I'm looking again here.
They reversed the plug.
It's funny how your muscle memory works on those things.
Yeah, so I actually had to turn the thing over to get it installed. I'm like, that is the stupidest thing ever.
Turn then the video card over?
Yeah. Do I flip the whole test bench over to plug it in and then flip it back, or do I flip over the cable? It's kind of like back in the, what was it, in the 10 series era, they made you twist the PCI Express power.
Yes, which is terrible.
And it was like, it was reversed to the way that it should be, and it made it difficult to remove. And I'm like, well, why did you just flip it around? Just do it the right way. I don't know. Decisions that are made by product managers that haven't been paying attention, and because, oh, well, it'll make it easier. And since on this card, you know, the PCB doesn't go all the way to the I/O, is basically just a connector that then has a bunch of wires that go to the board. So they could have positioned it any way they wanted.
Well, and I'm noticing also that the grills over the fans on what would be the, I guess that would be the outside facing.
Yeah, it's the part that you see when you're looking down. It's a little convex.
It's a little convex, yeah, which is an interesting design decision. You can't really see it, but you can feel it.
Yeah, and it's like, why? But I don't know, maybe they...
It's
they,
like the performance. You can't see it, but you can feel it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and also, I guess that is around the center portion of the hub of the fan, which traditionally does not get the same airflow.
Right.
As the outer part. So they didn't need as much metal there. So, hey, we're going to make you grind it down so we don't have to pay for it because we're only paying by weight.
That works. All right. I think we've seen enough about the physical aspects of this card. And if you haven't already seen this, of course, Google away, or we'll add some pictures to the article, because there's not really a ton to see. The reference card is the reference card.
Yeah. Well, and I would like to point out that Tech Power Up has a really nice detailed page for the 5080, including some pictures of what the PCB looks like.
Nice.
With the heatsink removed.
Well, we'll give them a link. They're always hooking us up.
Yep. And we also have some specs. So if we go and basically go down the line, the RTX 5080,
yeah,
slightly slower than the RTX 4090.
Ooh, so I'm not sure I heard that right. The 5080 is slightly, well, it actually on the graph, it looks like a lot more slower than the 4090. Because isn't that kind of bucking the trend we've seen? I mean, for years we've been saying, well, you know, the 5070 is slightly faster than the 4080 and the such and such. So it always seems to be just a little faster than the previous generation, one level lower.
Yeah. And this is, well, it's at 100% versus 112%. That's why you're seeing a slight difference there.
Okay.
And then the next card up is the RTX 5090 at 152%.
Okay. So if we take the 5080 as a benchmark,
mm-hmm.
the 4090, and this is the reference card, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I'm going to assume it's the
reference
card.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, is 12% faster would be what we're saying. And the 5090 then is 52% faster than the 5080, which is, then that's a big number.
Yeah. Well, and if you look at some pictures that I posted from CES, you will notice that the back of certain graphics cards, the 5080s had this little tiny rectangle. But then on the 5090, it was a large square.
Well, that's a kind of an interesting thing to point out, because I know that in some generations,
mm-hmm.
right, the PCB was basically the same. And if it didn't pass the test, right?
Yeah, they just fused off.
They would lock it off and sell it as a lower generation card. And I know mm-hmm. that a lot of the 60s especially were you know, yeah. victims of that. And don't get me started on the original 20X release.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But in this case, at least when it comes to the 5080 versus the 5090, the physical chip has been cut down.
Okay.
So the 5090 is obviously the full realization of Blackwell, at least in the retail space. And then the 5080 is just basically half that. So I don't know if it's like literally cut in half and they make two out of it, or if it's, you know, I'm not sure exactly how that portion of it works.
Well, I think maybe we should mention also, because the Radeon cards have been making a bit of a comeback, especially in the CPU market.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks are saying with the 4090 generation, at least, it was time to drop over into the RTX land. Mm-hmm. And so this same chart shows the RX 790 XTX, which is, I think, still one of the top dogs.
Yep, that's the top one.
And it's at 92% of the 5080. So at least on paper, the relative performance, the 5080 still comes out ahead of the 7900 XTX. So
yep.
Just to point that out for you Radeon fans out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, and going back to the RTX fans, it is 1% difference from the 4080 Super.
Oh, yeah. Which is kind of, that's a big coup.
Yep. And then, of course, from there, it's also a 1% difference from the RTX 5070 Ti, which I think is stupid that NVIDIA is releasing Ti Edition cards already, but whatever.
Well, I mean, they can't seem to figure this marketing stuff out. So the 7900 is still really in the mix unless you want to spend the big money on the 5080 or 5090
mm-hmm.
or even the 4090.
Yeah. So, of course, we can go down. Some people already know this, but the 5080, the reason it's cool is... the release price, $1,000, $999.
Which is great.
We have the base clock speed of 2,295 megahertz with a boost clock of 2617. Memory clock at 1875 or 30 gigabits per second effective. We have a total frame buffer of 16 gigabytes as GDDR7, which is pretty great, with a 256 bus with almost 1,000 gigabytes per second of bandwidth.
Okay, so let me slow you down a little bit on this, because that is kind of a big deal to me. I thought that the modern video cards were doing more memory, and 16 gigs and 12 gigs was kind of a 40X, 30X thing.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they not doing 32 and heck, even beyond that?
Well, mostly because we don't need it in the retail space.
Oh, okay.
So for these frame buffers, these work great for 4K gaming displays, ultra wide screens. You can get extremely good gaming performance with that amount of memory. Now, the 32 gigabytes, 48 gigabytes, 24 gigabytes, those sorts of things, those are usually reserved for the high end, like the 5090, for instance. I think it comes with 24 gigabytes of memory.
Right.
And then if you get into the professional space, that's when you start seeing doubling of the frame buffer. So we would have, like for instance, the new server that I put in for Ninja Lane, it has two A4000s in it, which are basically RTX 3070s. But the 3070 only had 8 gigabytes of memory. Well, the A4000s have 16 gigabytes of memory. So in the professional space, they've kind of doubled the frame buffer so that they can be used for calculations and AI and stuff like that.
Oh, and that makes sense. Okay.
All right, so you wanted to talk about shading units.
I do, because this is where I think the performance gets really interesting, although, to be fair, it's not really a language that I feel like I speak here.
Well, and we also need to have some comparison. So with these numbers, you'll have to go and write them down and compare them with what you have in your machine. But sure. We have CUDA cores, 10,752.
Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that that is a massive difference in some of the older cards, because I don't remember a 10,000 number.
I think the 4090 had something close to that. Hold on, let me pull that up really quick. So for the 4090, it was 16,384 CUDA cores.
Well, I stand corrected, because that's a big number too.
Yeah, well, and those CUDA cores are really what's going to be processing your game data. It's also going to contribute to some of the AI processing to make things faster.
So that 10 versus 16 number is probably a big reason why we see that 112% over the 5080.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if these percentages are based off of like just the stats we're seeing here, or if it's actually being tested against one or two particular benchmarks.
Right. Okay.
With Tech Power Up, they get the specs early because they run CPU-Z. So a lot of this stuff is just kind of probably a little bit of witchcraft in the background.
Yeah, or off the white shades from NVIDIA Direct.
Yeah. So we have TMUs at 336. We have 112 ROPs and 84 SM cores and 336 Tensor cores. And the Tensor cores are really where a lot of the AI processing happens when you're doing processing tensors.
Okay.
And then we have the ray tracing cores of 84. And now I want to say that ray tracing cores on the 4090 was twice that at 128.
So if I'm not mistaken, and I'm just kind of trying to rough out the math in my head here, the difference in shading units and the difference in tensor cores between the two cards, the 4090 and the 5080, the percentage seems to be roughly the same here. So if you're out there, you can correct me if I'm wrong there, but that makes sense to me.
Well, and it works out to be about double, and we have to think about how these cards were positioned. So we have the 4090, which was the top of the line, and we have the 5080, which is the top of the retail line, not necessarily top of the line. So having it cut in half really kind of makes a lot of sense from a marketing standpoint.
Well, I think we've talked quite a bit, but we've talked about performance, but I have to ask, Dennis, because I was under the impression that you kind of had to win the lottery or know the president to be able to even get one of these cards right now. End up with one of these in the lab.
Oh, right. Well, that's a pretty interesting story. So at the beginning of this podcast, I talked about how I kind of lost my voice because I went to a trade show. Well, I went to GTC.
So I'm not so familiar with GTC. What is GTC?
I don't know. The GeForce Technology Conference or something. It's an acronym. I don't know. It happens at the same time as GDC, which is the Game Developers Conference.
Oh, right.
And both of them are hosted by NVIDIA. The GTC that I went to was more of the technology data center focused group.
Okay.
And it's also where Jensen was doing his keynote address for, the GTC launch and what new products are coming out, and announcing new graphics cards and whatnot.
Right. Okay. So Jensen just handed you a card. I get it.
Yeah. So I was able to go to this show. The patches were really super expensive, which was crazy. And as I was walking around, I noticed that there was this sign, and it said, "Hey, if you come by between the hours of, I think it was 7 and 10, and you go to the GTC park." So I kind of have to back up here. At GTC, it was held at the San Jose Convention Center.
Okay.
Now, I don't know a lot about San Jose, but the convention center is kind of downtownish, and it's right on the rail line. There's a light rail that does passengers and stuff, so you can actually get dropped off there. So they had the light rail shut off for GTC because they also opened up the street for the park that was just right across the street, and that was the GTC park, where Jensen had kind of set up a Taiwan-style night market.
Oh, fun.
Well, if you waited in line between 7 and 10, you would get a ticket to pick up a card.
Ooh.
And you could pick up a card at retail. And they had 5090s and 5080s available. Limited quantities, blah, blah, blah. You know how it goes.
Right.
The first couple of days, I didn't realize that that sign was there. And then when I started paying attention, it's like, oh. So on the very last day, I got up early, went to go wait in line, and there was about, I don't know, 80, almost 100 people in line.
Yeah, okay. So that doesn't sound like a lot, but I mean, I guess you're on the last day, so they've been doing this probably every day.
Yeah, yeah. And the 5090s were all sold out, which is fine. I mean, that was, you know, a $2,000 card.
Yeah.
So when I get up there, I get a ticket to get a 5080. And then you went into the park to a truck.
Oh, no. Literally off the back of a truck. I love it.
Yeah. And well, and it was, they had souvenir stands where you could go buy NVIDIA gear. And I overheard them saying that, well, we're changing vendors and this is all the old stock. So we brought it here to GTC to sell. And basically, they sold it at wholesale.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And I was like looking for a shirt in a certain size. And they said, well, it might be in the truck in the park.
The truck.
And I'm like, well, I'm hearing this truck thing a lot. So it was like, you know, go to the truck to get a special size shirt as it falls off the back of the truck or something like
nice.
That.
Nice.
Which was really kind of fun. So anyhow, waited in line, got rolled up. I got my ticket. So then I rolled up to the truck and I had to show them my badge and the ticket. And then basically pay $1,000 plus tax.
Know the secret passcode and all that? Handshake, something?
No, actually, all I needed was the ticket, which was pretty crazy. I turned in the ticket and then got a receipt. And the receipt said, you know, paid and all that stuff. So, you know, I couldn't actually fake the receipt. But then I was told that, well, you know, this is like the super secret handshake thing, right? So after I paid for the card, I had to go between the hours, and since this was the last day, it was a shortened day. So I had to go between the hours of 11 and 2 to another location.
Oh, no.
To actually pick up the card.
Wow, what a fiasco. I guess it works, though.
Well, yeah, it worked out pretty well, actually, because that way, you know, the cards were all protected. You know, they were protected in another building instead of in the back of a truck.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In a way, it was a bit of a safety thing, too. So it's like, you know, you don't get somebody trying to mug you in the park, trying to get a $2,000 card off the back of a truck sort of thing.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, you had to go and make a bunch of hoops and jumps and stuff. But, yeah, so, you know, I go to the show for the first day, met a couple of people, and I say, I'm going to go get my graphics card. So then wandered down out of the building, down the street to the other building. Well, and this part was actually really super smooth. So I walk in and they check my badge, make sure that I had a badge. And they said, well, do you have a receipt? And they say, yeah, receipt's right here. It's like, all right, cool. You're getting a 5080. All right, get in this line. So I get in this line and then go up and then I show them the receipt again. They say, all right, cool. You get a 5080. And then they took my badge and then stamped it.
Oh, only one per customer?
Yeah, only one per customer, which... it's not surprising, really. I mean, you want to be able to spread this out, especially since they're being sold at retail, which you cannot buy at retail, which is pretty crazy. And then after that, it was like I had the option to stand in front of a sign and have them take a picture of me getting a card at retail at GTC.
A souvenir photo framed on the wall.
And I'm like, nah, I don't need a picture. That's fine. So then I walked out, and for the remainder of the day, I had to carry around this heavy card plus my bag to go and actually, you know, make my final rounds and everything.
It's like a conversation starter, right?
Well, yeah. And there were several other people that had boxes just like that. So it's like, you know what they have. And, you know, the convention center was somewhat secure. So you had to go and pass through security and all this other crap, which is also another funny story. So I was relatively safe that nobody's going to steal my card. But I would be lying if I didn't look over my shoulder once in a while.
Yeah, nothing like walking around with a grand, or gosh, if you had a 90, you know, $2,000, and
yeah,
you know, and nobody's like, going to know if it's yours or not if somebody else grabs it, right?
Well, it's not like I could go and take my Uber back to the hotel to go drop off my card and then come back, because again, it's the final day, it's a shortened day, and I would miss out on all my meetings and whatnot. So it's like, you know, I just kind of let that go and look over my shoulder once in a while and just kind of grin and bear it.
So you got a card at retail, which most of us are still dreaming about,
mm-hmm.
especially with the 80s and 90s, although I'm already seeing the 70s out there, mm-hmm. In stock everywhere. So if you don't need the top two, There's hope for you.
Yeah. So, funny side story. Mm-hmm. I was checking eBay, and I've already seen several of these 5080s in the sealed package being sold on eBay for $2,000.
Whoosh.
And it's like,
flip away.
Yeah. It's like they bought it at the trade show, and then it's like, yeah, we're just going to flip it.
Well, that's great. It's a good gig if you can get it.
Yeah. Oh, funny story about the security. Since I'm talking about GTC, right?
Sure.
So they have basically kind of the airport style security back when airport security was actually good.
Okay.
So it's like you walk through a metal detector, and if they detect something, then you have to go and pull it out and then walk through the thing again, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm coming back through with my graphics card.
Yeah.
And I see this guy running. I mean, he's literally like beeline trying to get to the exit.
Oh, wow.
And in the background, I hear, hey, security, stop that guy, stop that guy. And I'm like, so do I intervene?
Right.
Or do I just kind of let this guy slide? And so he runs through the security. And at that point, there's basically two lanes. And he's going to go to the right. And I just make a little side step off to the right. He runs right into me.
Oh, no.
And then stops. And then security comes around and grabs and pulls him back in. And I'm like standing there. I'm like, so no, thank you.
Right.
No checking to see if I'm okay. No.
Yeah, it's the culture, I guess.
It's like, what's wrong with these people, right? And so I ended up like pausing, waiting for a little bit of confirmation, but also a little curious to find out like, why is this guy running and why is somebody yelling at him?
That I get.
And supposedly he stole something from one of the booths and was running away.
But he didn't make it.
Well, he didn't make it. But he also claimed, well, he was running because he was scared because somebody was yelling at him. And I'm like, well, you know, it is what it is. So anyhow, he got pulled aside and basically searched. I don't know if they found anything because at that point I'm like walking through to get back into the convention center. All the while, nobody asked me if I was okay.
There you go. Secret hero.
Yeah. Secret hero with my 5080.
Right. Well, I know you've had a chance to bench this thing already. We've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
let's look at some scores. Yeah.
Let's see how it does because not very many people have hands on these. I know a few of the big sites are already putting out numbers. So you can go and compare with those sites too, but we'll be looking today at how it compares to the 4070, which is near and dear to my heart.
Well, we got the 4070, we got the 4090 and the 5080, and they're all on the 12700 or the 14900K edition Intels.
Okay. So pretty much the same chipset.
Yep.
So what have you got in the way of benchmarks?
All right. So let's look at FireStrike Extreme because hardware bot.
Right.
Let's look at Port Royal and let's look at TimeSpy.
Okay. So I'm not as familiar with Port Royal, but FireStrike, of course, is the one that we like to talk about. That one really pushes the video. So what are you seeing?
All right, so on the 4090, we basically get a graphic score. We'll look at the graphic score. A graphic score of 746.
Okay, so that's a good benchmark.
And if we go and look at the 5080, we have a graphic score of 4944.
Oh, okay, so we're down.
Well, yeah, we're down quite a bit, actually. And if you wanted to do the total score, which is including the CPU benchmark, it's 35605 versus 36870.
Yeah, but some of that is going to be that different chipset, even though it's very minor.
Yeah, I mean, we have a faster processor, so we're going to... I mean, the physics score is amazingly high, which is why that number went up.
Yeah.
Now, if we go and look at the 4070, and this is the standard 4070 with 12 gigs of memory, FireStrike Extreme graphics score is 21326.
Okay, so there's a big jump there in the graphics card. So we're seeing, wow, almost double, which is usually enough to get me excited about jumping up a generation in cards.
Well, yeah, but it's 4070. That's the mainstream card. This is kind of what we're expecting.
Right.
The big surprise is the fact that the 5080 is only 6,000 points behind the 4090.
Yeah.
Which you would kind of expect it to be faster, but it's really not.
Well, and we've just kind of, like I said before, gotten the understanding from so many generations that the 5080 should be about the same performance as the previous generation 4090.
Mm-hmm.
And like the 4070 is about the same as the, you know, 5060, for example. So you've got that kind of step mode to it.
Yeah.
But in this case, that does not appear to be true.
Nope. Port Royal. Port Royal is a pure DirectX 12 benchmark. It doesn't have any physics component to it. So it's basically GPU performance and system throughput is really the deciding factors there. On the 4090, the graphics score is 26,055.
Okay.
And then on the 5080, it is 21,474.
So again, we're seeing a drop between the two, which is, you know, starting to be consistent.
Yep. Now, if we go to the 4070, for Port Royal, it is 11,234.
So again, about half.
Yep.
So consistent, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm still surprised that the 5080 doesn't give the 4090 more of a run.
Yeah. I mean, it's there. It's just not as fast as I would really expect it to be. The final one, well, we have more that we could look at, but we have TimeSpy. TimeSpy graphics score for the 4090, 36,691. All right.
Okay.
And if we go to the 5080 for TimeSpy, graphics score of 32,331.
All right. Well, that's close, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But still a loss.
Yeah. Well, and what's kind of interesting here is that you remember those two processors we had, the 12700K versus the 14900K?
Yeah.
On TimeSpy, if we look at the CPU score, on the 4090, which was the 12700, CPU score is 17140. But then on the 14900, it's 23087.
Oh, yeah. So that 30,000 score, 32,000 score on the 3D Mark is being carried kind of by the CPU.
A little bit, throughput wise.
Right.
But the graphics score is just the CPU benchmarks.
But if we take the combined score, which maybe tells a bigger picture,
mm-hmm.
even with that newer CPU, we're still scoring lower overall.
Yes. And that is, that's why TimeSpy is a really good benchmark for total systems, because the CPU, the subsystem, does not have as huge of an influence as some of the older benchmarks
do. Right.
Now, if we go to the 4070 for TimeSpy, we have a graphics score of 17,798.
So again, about half.
Yep. And I'm really surprised in that the score is now in the good range. It's actually at the bottom of the little circle. So I'm like, did the benchmark just go wrong? Or
so what I think they're saying, the 3D Mark folks are saying, is you're probably okay if you still have a 4070?
In a sense, they're basically saying that there isn't a lot of people that have benchmarked a 4070 and submitted scores to 3D Mark.
Oh, okay.
So it's they don't have an average or best score for this. I've basically submitted a score and it happens to be low because they don't have anything compared against.
Well, if we go back again to the rollouts of the last couple of generations, then most of the enthusiasts were able to get a tie pretty quickly. So
yeah. They are always going to do the high-end card.
Yeah, yeah. So that doesn't surprise me too much. Even I've run in the Super, and I'm sure there are better scores for it.
Yeah. I guess there's one final one we can look at, and this is one that it had me scratching my head a little bit.
Okay.
But within 3D Mark, there's a benchmark called Wildlife, and it's really designed for mobile system benchmarking for, like, laptops and tablets and stuff like that. So if we pull up the 4090... we have a graphics score of 90,511.
That sounds awesome.
It's huge. It's massive.
That is. That makes those other numbers seem like peanuts.
Yeah. So on the 5080, we pull up Wildlife. We have a score of 163,086.
Wow. Huge.
Huge.
Huge. That's like all the frames.
That's like over twice on the 4090.
Wow.
And I actually don't know why.
Because this bucks the trend that we've seen across the other more traditional standpoints. How does the 4070 do?
Oh, the 4070 is surprising as well, because it is at 111,350.
Oh, which also is
kinda faster than the 4090.
I don't get it.
Well, the only difference between these is the CPU. So remember, the 4090 was on a 12700K.
Right.
And the 5080 and the 4070 were on a 14900K.
Oh.
So the fact that that CPU is considerably faster is what is really contributing to this graphics score going above and beyond.
Well, the good news is if you have that configuration, you're looking at 200 plus frames per second. Holy crap.
Now, I do want to bring up that I was running the 5080 on a Core Ultra 265KF, which is the new, latest and greatest Intel CPU.
Okay.
Now, the newest, latest and greatest CPU does not have hyperthreading. It also has fewer cores, and they added an MPU for AI processing, and a lot of enthusiasts really don't like it because it changes the way that you overclock the processor, changes the base performance and stuff. Well, I ran wildlife on that configuration with the 5080.
I am afraid, but bring it. What?
26,197.
What? How is that even possible?
I have no idea. I really do not have any idea why it is so low.
Yeah, so that is definitely an outlier. Because that is, wow. That is so much lower.
So bad. So bad. Now, if you go to Firestrike Extreme, it's also different. I mean, we have on the 265KF, we're going to pull up our 4090. Graphics score was 46,746. On the 265KF, it's 40,061. And then if we pull up the previous one, it was 4,944, and that was on the 14900. So Firestrike Extreme is actually about where it should be between the two processor generations. But then when you get into this wildlife one, it just completely falls off the
roof. Well, it's like it doesn't know what it's doing. Or, you know, alternately, we could say, well, that just justifies maybe going over to an AMD processor. Yeah. I don't even know.
Yeah. But anyhow, overall, I mean, I really like the 5080. It's a little disappointing in overall performance. I would have expected a little bit more from it.
Yeah.
But then again, this is a reference design Founders Edition card. And there are, you know, other versions of the 5080, like the Asus Astral, and we have some from Gigabyte and MSI, which are going to be factory overclocked. And I suspect that some of those factory overclocks are really where a lot of the untapped performance is going to be found.
Well, I know for several generations, the recommendation has been pretty consistent that if you have a good video card, and we're talking, you know, X70 or higher, that you can skip a generation.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is really kind of showing me that is still true. I mean, especially if you put the money out there for a 4080 Super or a 4090, I don't really see the value in the 5080 at all. Is that what you're seeing also?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm seeing. I mean, there's a lot of new technology that was built in the 5080. And basically, AMD is kind of doubling down on the AI features to carry the performance. From a throughput standpoint, it's not that much faster. And that's why, you know, we have DLSS, for instance. And we talked about this in our CES episode where we were seeing demos done by NVIDIA with like a 4090 versus a 5090. And in some cases, the 5090 was actually slower. But then when you turn on the AI features, it was like six times faster. And it's all because of the AI trickery that's happening behind the scenes and is making up for the deficiencies and using all that extra horsepower that is built into the chip to your advantage.
Well, if I'm reading these stats correctly, then I feel safe in saying that if you have the money and if you win the lottery, then probably the 5090, yes, is still worth the purchase. But otherwise, if you're in a 40 series card, it's probably still okay to wait another generation for the 60X.
For For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwireasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardwire Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or subscribe to us on YouTube. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2025. Thanks for listening. Welcome to the Hardware Asylum podcast. In this episode, Dennis talks about getting an RTX 5080 off the back of a truck and then benchmarks it against the current 40 series champions. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today I have Darren McCain.